The following sermon was delivered during morning worship at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with our vibrant community of faith every Sunday on the corner of Fifth Avenue and 55th Street in the heart of Midtown Manhattan. And now, here is our guest preacher for today's service.
Let us pray. God, open our hearts and our minds, that as your scripture is read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy, deep, abiding joy, what you have to say to us today, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our first scripture reading of the morning comes from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful. For the people of Israel who are close to him, praise the Lord.
Our second reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke. Let us listen for God's word. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him, and after 3 days they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I would be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Searching and finding. 'Tis the season to keep following that star, and like all wise men and women, trust the places that it is leading us. This past week, our trust was rewarded, and love came down. The one we call Wonderful Counselor is here. This holiday season, I experienced an additional journey of searching and finding. And like many searches, I didn't even know I was looking for this when I found it. And it was a journey that began with a TV clicker. Now, already this search is unusual for me. Like many of you, I tend to record most of my programs and pull them up and watch them only when I have time. They are almost always British and usually involve either baking or actors with names such as Benedict or Cumberbatch. Okay, most all of them involve Benedict Cumberbatch, but let me not digress. So it was unusual that I was clicking through the channels at all when I stumbled upon something that would change everything for me this holiday season. As I moved from channel to channel, I stopped, mesmerized. It was this place where Christmas reigned supreme, where everyone held mugs of hot cocoa brimming with marshmallows, wore bright red and green sweaters, and loved the smell of Christmas trees almost as much as me. It was this place called the Hallmark Christmas Movie Channel. Oh yes, I'm going there. And I see from some of the smiles and laughter that I'm not alone in this. But for those of you who might have missed this Christmas phenomenon, let me fill you in. Each holiday season, networks from Lifetime to BET to the Hallmark Movie Channel dedicate themselves to 24/7 movies where the star of the show is a passion for all things Christmas. The acting and the story structure of each of these two-hour movies is, well, thin, but a love for the season is robust. For me, the Hallmark Christmas Movie Channel became a bit of a holiday obsession, and it also came just in time. Prior to this, I would have told you that my defining habit was a passion for following the news cycle, guided by a daily stream of alerts on my phone. But I know I'm not alone in sharing the experience of heaviness that it all is happening in our world right now. And I found myself just barely making it through the November midterms. I needed a little break, a distraction. And I found it through consuming countless hours and plot lines involving towns with names such as Pemberley and Evergreen. And it isn't just me. This is where we get to pull out that word phenomenon. This past month, Christmas television movies swept TV ratings in an unprecedented way. I think there were more than a few of us who were turning here for a little artificial Christmas cheer. But the ultimate was this month, National Public Radio devoted a half-hour segment to the Hallmark movie phenomenon. Finally, an intellectual approach to these Christmas movies. In typical NPR style, they deconstructed the themes of Hallmark movies with great gusto. The word praxis might have been involved. NPR broke down themes in every plot point. Yes, those consistent red and green sweaters. And each movie ends with the big kiss. They observed how the main character was generally a high-powered career woman who leaves her big city job. New York City and Chicago do not fare well in the world of Hallmark. And she discovers her true purpose at a slower pace, and usually in a small town. Somewhere in the fictitious town of Pemberley, a series of very smart women in advertising need to find each other to form a wonderful firm. That's my great assessment. But what really got me thinking was an observation made by NPR to explain the unprecedented ratings success. NPR noted that one reason why these movies were capturing the hearts and attention of the country was because the real star of each Hallmark Christmas show was the human quest. Each and every movie was actually about the most important journey one could ever take, searching and finding. Because the most powerful searches are the ones that you didn't even know you were looking for until you find it. Our reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke. This Christmas season, Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church has been visiting the homes of the four gospel writers to see their unique approaches to Christmas. Peeking in the windows, as Pastor Scott has said, of the stories of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as they announce the arrival of the baby Jesus. Each writer has their own unique perspective of this event, and only through weaving all four Gospels together are we able to get the full understanding of the story. Last week, just days before Christmas, we visited Luke's house for what was called the classic Christmas telling of the Jesus birth story. Today, on this last stop on the Christmas tour of Gospels, We're going to linger just a little longer in Luke's house. Today's reading of a 12-year-old Jesus picks up just a few words past the telling of the Christmas story from last week. Meaning if we were to put together the Jesus family album according to Luke, we have the baby pictures in place, but the following album pages all sit empty, the ones where the pictures of Jesus as a toddler and as a child should go. In fact, Luke is the only of the four Gospels to share any story at all from Jesus' childhood. All four Gospels are a picture album that takes us from those infant stories to Jesus' ministry and his 30s, except this one single story. It's a transition passage that bridges us from the stable to the next part of the journey as followers. And it follows the common theme of the Gospel of Luke, searching and finding. On the cusp of adulthood, 12-year-old Jesus goes to the temple. Now, adolescence is the ultimate metaphor for transition. The journey from adolescent to adult is the time of exploration of one's identity. We want to tap Jesus on the shoulder here and ask if he knows how much of his identity story he's figured out. We, of course, know the beginning, how his birth came to be, and we understand exactly where this story is going and how it ends. But this passage from Luke is our only insight into Jesus' journey of growing up and being shaped into the change maker that he will become. So we pour through these scant words to learn as much as possible. We see how he left for the temple without remembering to tell his parents, something that any parent of an adolescent can nod their head to. How Jesus already knows where to go. His place to call home is with God, and he instinctively heads to a place of worship, the temple. And once inside, how interesting to see where we find him. Jesus didn't march to the top of the pulpit and begin to speak, to stand up tall and try it out. When his mother finds him in the temple, he is within a crowd of people. It's a defining detail that tells us that that the leadership of Jesus comes from the power of listening and learning. But there's something else in this story that is important for us. How this path of searching and finding unfolds. You see, his parents have been earnestly looking for him for days on end. Mary finds Jesus in the temple and asks, "Where have you been?" He replies, "She should have known he would be there." Jesus has positioned himself where he needed to be, even if it wasn't where he was supposed to be. And this is where you and I come into this story. Are you positioned in your life where you are needed to be, or where you're supposed to be? This transition story of Jesus meets us on our own transition this week. We are just moments from saying goodbye to 2018 and to greet 2019 with open arms. Now, as people of faith, we don't need a new year to pause and take stock of ourselves, our values, and our actions. This can be a part of our daily and weekly reflection. But there's no denying that the end of a calendar year is a powerful reminder of time passing. Where is God calling you to be in your life right now? This story of Jesus comes just words away from that birth story we read last week, that story of Luke that we called the classic Christmas story. It was so sacred there, so peaceful. And it's not so easy to say goodbye to that Christmas story just yet. Can't we just linger a little longer into the beauty of that classic story? Maybe stay a little longer with those mugs of hot cocoa brimming with marshmallows and the smell of Christmas trees everywhere? But maybe Luke knows this because Jesus is already on the move at work in his ministry. Our reading today is a transition passage that bridges each of us from the stable to the next part of our journey as followers. It is time for us to be on the move, and for such a time as this. These are not easy times right now. Shutdowns, caravans. We are a divided country. The stakes are high, and this year we will need everyone to make this earth just a little more like it is in heaven. We must work to bridge these divides. And we are guided by the reminder that we are called as people of faith, not to live out political values, but to live out the values of our Christian faith, values that align with the one we call Wonderful, Counselor, and the Prince of Peace. This is the most powerful alert we can ever receive. Searching and finding. It's the ultimate human journey. Much will be expected out of each and every one of us in 2019, and we will be ready. But I must ask you just one more time, what are you searching for? Are you positioned where you are needed to be, or where life says you are supposed to be? How will you go into this year prepared to live and love more boldly than ever before? Because a God this amazing wants each and every one of us ready. And to get to where you need to be, you might have to do what Jesus did. He trusted, and then he went. Amen. Friends, our worship is actually just beginning. We take our spirits to the streets and let it spill over into everyone we meet. There is someone who needs to see your hope and your patience. Go into 2019 full of passion and curiosity and ready to live and love boldly. Alleluia and Merry Christmas.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and provided a message of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you are in New York City, we invite you to visit our historic church and join us for worship. You will find our address, worship calendar, and other information on our website, fapc.org. If you would like to help support this audio ministry, please text the dollar amount of your gift, followed by the word sermons, to 646-491-8331. Again, that is the amount of your gift, followed by the word sermons, to 646-491-8331. Thank you, and God bless.